Okay, so are you ready to get deep?
Always.
All right, good. Because today we're going to do a deep dive into something pretty profound: human rights and freedom.
But with a twist.
Yeah, with a twist. We're looking at it through the lens of faith.
And it's not as like preachy as it sounds.
No.
We're going to be exploring a chapter from this book, Divine Conversations by Stephen Scott.
Okay, yeah.
And it's sort of this like wild thought experiment where he imagines six major religious figures, like just living in modern day New York City and, just like chatting about current
That's
events.
so cool.
I know, it's kind of a cool premise.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So we've got like Jesus, Prophet Muhammad, Moses, Krishna, Guru Nanak, and Siddhartha Gautama all hanging out in Riverside Park, tackling these tough
Yeah,
topics.
tough
And
topic.
today's topic is human rights and freedom.
Exactly.
So how does this all start?
Well, the setup is actually pretty cool. So the chapter opens with Moses, laying down the law literally from the Torah. And he's basically reminding everyone that these laws, they're meant to protect the vulnerable, make sure there's fairness, and that really sets the stage for the whole discussion.
Okay, so we got Moses setting the stage, and then everyone else chimes in with their own unique perspective.
Right,
That's a
exactly. And what's fascinating is how much they actually agree on, despite coming from these vastly different belief systems.
Really? So, like, give me an example. How does this all play out?
Okay, so for instance, you've got Prophet Muhammad emphasizing that in Islam, justice is like a divine obligation.
Oh, wow.
But he's also quick to point out that laws without any morality are just wrong.
Right. They're just rules on paper. They don't actually mean
Right,
anything.
exactly.
I mean, I feel like I've heard that sentiment echoed by like
Yeah.
other folks too. Is that something that we see?
Totally. And that's where Jesus comes in.
Okay.
He reminds everyone that true justice has to be rooted in love and compassion.
Right. It can't just be about like punishment or retribution.
Right. It has to be about restoring balance, healing those wounds.
Okay, so we've got this emphasis on justice and compassion, but like, what about the other figures? What do they bring to the table?
Okay, well, you've got Krishna bringing in the Hindu concept of dharma, which is all about like fulfilling your duty in a righteous way. And he makes the argument that any law that deviates from this moral code, it's going to lead to suffering.
Okay, so essentially, like, upholding justice is part of our duty.
And not just like blind obedience to the law, but following a deeper moral code.
Okay, that makes sense. And then what about Guru Nanak? What does he add to the mix?
Well, from a Sikh perspective, he's really emphasizing fairness, and especially for those who are marginalized.
Right.
He believes that real change comes from having the courage to stand up to injustice.
That's powerful. So it's not enough to just like follow the rules. You have to actively fight for what's right.
Exactly. You have to be willing to challenge the status quo, speak truth to power.
So we've got this really fascinating foundation built on justice, compassion, duty, and courage.
Right.
But it sounds like Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha, brings in sort of a different, maybe a more contemplative angle.
Yeah, he definitely adds a different layer to the conversation.
Yeah.
He's sort of cautioning against using laws just for control or power. And, he
Yeah.
points out that this can actually lead to suffering in the long run. So for him,
Totally.
true justice really comes from this place of mindfulness and compassion. It's about making sure laws are both applied and enforced fairly.
That's interesting. So we've got like Moses setting this foundation with the law. Then we have all these different perspectives on how to actually live out that law in a way that's just and compassionate.
Right. And what's so cool is they're all saying similar things in different ways. It's like they're speaking different languages, but the message is the same.
Yeah, that's so fascinating how these different faith traditions can converge on these core values, you know?
Totally. Yeah.
It's like there's this underlying human desire for fairness and dignity that transcends any one religion or belief system.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing our shared humanity
Yeah.
and that we're all in this together.
So we've got these shared ideals, this kind of foundation laid by these big figures. But I'm guessing this chapter doesn't stop there, right?
No, it definitely doesn't. And that's where things get really real.
Oh, okay. So tell me more about that. What happens next?
So the chapter goes beyond just these like pronouncements from these big name figures, and it brings in real people, everyday folks who are wrestling with these ideas in their own lives. And that's where it gets really powerful.
Yeah, it's like bringing it down to earth, right?
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
like, what kind of stories do we hear?
Well, we meet a young lawyer who's totally disillusioned by seeing how the law gets manipulated by like the wealthy and powerful.
Oh, so he's seeing that gap between like the ideal and the reality.
Exactly. And then there's this construction worker who just feels like the system is rigged against people like him.
Yeah.
You know, like no matter how hard he works, he can't seem to get ahead.
Yeah. I could see how that would lead to a sense of like hopelessness.
Right. It's this feeling of being trapped in a system that's not designed to help you succeed. And then probably like
yeah.
the most impactful story is about this man who's living under an oppressive regime.
Oh, wow.
Where authority is just used to control people and instill fear.
So for him, these questions of human rights and freedom aren't just theoretical.
It's his life.
It's his reality.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a whole different level of urgency.
And the way that these faith leaders respond to these stories is really fascinating.
Yeah, tell me about that. How do they react?
Well, they acknowledge that gap between like the ideal of justice and what actually happens in the real world.
Right. It's not all sunshine and roses.
Yeah.
They're not pretending like everything's perfect.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so powerful, right? They're being honest about the challenges.
Yeah. And what's really important is that they're not just offering like empty platitudes or telling people to just suck it up, right?
No, not at all. They actually call for action.
Oh, wow.
Like they encourage people to push for a more just and equitable system.
That's interesting because it seems like there's this tension between, you know, the spiritual and the practical, right?
It's this really interesting dynamic. Like yeah. you've got these timeless spiritual principles butting up against the messy realities of modern life.
Yeah, I could see that.
And what emerges is this idea that,
yeah.
you know, protecting human rights and freedom, it's not a one and done deal. It's an ongoing struggle.
Oh, I see. So it's like a constant push and pull between our highest aspirations
yes.
and the systems that often fall short.
Exactly.
And speaking of falling short, there's one thing that's been bugging me about this chapter. It never actually defines human rights.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Like, what do we even mean when we say those words?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's so fundamental to this whole conversation, but it's just kind of assumed.
It's almost like the author's intentionally leaving that open for interpretation, like challenging us to figure it out for ourselves.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah, makes you think.
It does. And, you know, it makes me wonder, like, what does that mean for our listeners?
Right.
What does it actually look like to have human rights in a world where those rights are constantly violated?
That is the $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a heavy one. But the chapter doesn't just, like, leave us hanging. Like,
no, not at all. It offers these incredible insights from these different faith traditions, and it suggests that, you know, human rights aren't just about laws and legal documents.
Oh,
they're deeply intertwined with our own personal sense of morality and our responsibility to each other.
Right. So it's not just about what's written down on paper. It's about how we live those words.
Exactly.
How we treat each other, how we structure our societies. It's much bigger than just like legal frameworks.
It's about embodying those principles in everything we do.
And those personal stories that we talked about earlier, they really bring the whole thing to life, right?
They do.
They remind us that this isn't just some abstract philosophical debate.
It's about real people.
It's about real people,
yeah.
real struggles, real hopes. It gets to the heart of what it means to be human.
Totally. It's like the chapter is saying, look, these conversations about justice and freedom, they're not just happening in some ivory tower. They're happening in the lives of everyday people, in the choices we make and the systems we create.
Okay, so we've got this big picture stuff about the interconnectedness of humanity and our responsibility to each other. But I want to circle back to something specific that came up earlier. Each of those faith leaders, they use these really intriguing terms to describe their approach to justice.
Oh, yeah, like dharma and...
Yeah, can we unpack those a bit more?
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much richness there. So, for instance, Krishna talked about dharma, which is a complex concept.
Yeah.
But it essentially boils down to living in alignment with a moral code. You know, it's about doing what's right, not just what's easy or convenient.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then there's this Jewish concept of tzedek tirdof, which literally translates to justice you shall pursue.
Wow, that's powerful.
Right.
So it's about this like relentless pursuit of justice, never giving up even when it's hard.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got dharma and tzedek tirdof, but what was that third term?
Oh, right. We can't forget about sarbat dhavala, which is the Sikh principle that emphasizes the well-being of all.
Okay, yeah.
And it highlights how interconnected we all are, you know? And it reminds us that true justice has to benefit everyone, not just a select few.
Right, it has to uplift everyone.
Exactly.
Okay, so these concepts, dharma, tzedek tirdof, sarbat dhavala, they offer such profound ways of thinking about human rights.
Yeah, and I'd really encourage everyone listening to like dive deeper into these ideas.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion.
They're incredibly fascinating, and they can really expand your understanding of what it means to build a just world.
So let's circle back to that central question the chapter leaves us with. What does having human rights really mean in a world where those rights are so often violated?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff to grapple with.
It is, but it's also, like, incredibly important.
Yeah, it's not just some abstract thought experiment.
And it's not just a theoretical question either. Think about your own life, you know? Have you ever felt like the legal system failed you or that you were treated unfairly?
Or maybe you've seen injustice happening around you and felt powerless to stop it?
Exactly. These are the kinds of questions this chapter pushes us to ask ourselves.
Yeah. And there are no easy answers.
But by engaging with these tough questions, by listening to the stories of those who have been marginalized and oppressed, and by exploring these different faith perspectives, we can start to form our own understanding of what it means to champion human rights in a world that's complex and often unjust.
It's about recognizing that human rights are so much more than just laws and treaties.
Wow.
They're about how we treat each other, how we structure our societies, and how we hold each other accountable.
Exactly.
It's about recognizing the inherent dignity and worth of every single person,
mm-hmm.
regardless of their background, beliefs, or circumstances.
That's at the heart of it, isn't it?
And that recognition, that's really where true justice and lasting peace begin.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with one final thought.
All right, lay it on me. What's the final thought?
Well, the chapter focuses on human rights and freedom, but it also kind of hints at something deeper.
Oh.
The importance of faith.
Okay.
And I don't just mean faith in like a religious sense, but faith in something larger than ourselves, something that motivates us to make the world a better place.
I like that. So, like, the chapter is saying that real change, lasting change, it starts with believing in something bigger than ourselves, something that fuels our passion for justice and human rights.
Exactly. Whether it's faith in a higher power, faith in humanity, or even just faith in the possibility of a brighter future, that belief gives us the strength to fight for what's right, challenge injustice, and create a world where everyone can thrive.
Wow. This has been an incredible deep dive.
Yeah.
We've explored this intersection of faith and human rights, heard some powerful stories, and wrestled with some seriously big questions.
And we've done it all through the lens of this really thought-provoking book, Divine Conversations.
Right.
But remember, the conversation doesn't end here.
No, absolutely not. The real challenge is for you, the listener, to take these insights and these questions and weave them into your own life, your own community, your own interactions with the world.
Because at the end of the day, this pursuit of human rights and freedom, it's a journey we're all on together.
So keep questioning, keep learning, and keep pushing for a better world. Until next time.
And they don't shy away from that fact either. Like, you know, they're honest about the fact that there's a big gap between the ideal of justice and, like you said, what actually happens.
Right. And I think that's what makes it so compelling.
Yeah.
Because it's not just like, oh, here's this perfect system, just follow these rules and everything will be fine. Like, they're acknowledging that it's messy.
Exactly. And it's not like a blame game either, you know? It's more about, okay, see, here's the reality. What can we do about it?
Okay, so what can we do about it? Like, how do these faith leaders suggest we bridge that gap?
Well, it's interesting because they actually encourage personal responsibility and integrity, even within, like, flawed systems. You know, it's not about waiting for the perfect system to appear.
Yeah.
It's about making the best choices we can right now with what we have.
So, like, even if the laws aren't perfect or the system feels rigged, we still have a responsibility to act justly and ethically in our own lives.
Right, exactly. It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in creating a more just world.
And it's not just about personal choices either, right? Like, they also call for action on a larger scale.
Totally. They emphasize the importance of challenging injustice and working to create more equitable systems.
That's really powerful. So it's this combination of personal integrity and collective action.
Yeah, it's like this two-pronged approach, you know? We have to work on ourselves and on the systems around us.
It's about being the change you want to see.
Exactly.
We're working within the system to make it better, too. So it's not one or the other, it's both.
Exactly.
All right, lay it on me. What's the final thought?
Well, the chapter focuses on human rights and freedom, but it also kind of hints at something deeper, you know? The importance of faith.
Okay, so not just faith in like a religious sense.
Right, not necessarily. It's more about faith in something larger than ourselves, something that motivates us to make the world a better place.
I like that. It's like the chapter is saying that real change, lasting change, it starts with believing in something bigger than ourselves.
Yeah, I
can't. Something that fuels our passion for justice and human rights.
Exactly. Whether it's faith in a higher power or faith in humanity or even just faith in the possibility of a brighter future, that belief gives us the strength to fight for what's right, challenge injustice, and, you know, create a world where everyone can thrive.
Wow, this has been an incredible deep dive. We've explored this intersection of faith and human rights, heard some powerful stories, and like wrestled with some seriously big questions.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey.
And we've done it all through the lens of this thought-provoking book, Divine Conversations.
Such a great book.
But remember, the conversation doesn't end here.
No, definitely not. The real challenge is for you, the listener, to take these insights, these questions, and kind of weave them into your own life, your own community, your own interactions with the world.
Because at the end of the day, this pursuit of human rights and freedom, it's a journey we're all on together.
Absolutely.
I'll keep questioning, keep learning, and keep pushing for a better world. Until next time.
Mm.